You know, it's not very often I preach on New Year's Day, usually at home enjoying college football and kind of crashing, and I'm sure many of you share that, maybe not the football, but definitely you have your typical New Year's traditions. But, you know, I think today, my original intention today was to look at Colossians 3, 1 through 10 all this morning. And the more I focused on it, the more I looked at it, I thought this is a 3 or 4 week series. So we're going to be beginning, kind of starting the new year together and really focusing on what it means to live this new life in Christ. Most of your Bibles, if you have headings, probably have something like that title, like New Life in Christ or something along those themes in this section. But, you know, as we begin the new year is always a great time to look back. It seems like the general consensus is 2016 was a rough year for a lot of folks, at least for celebrities. It seems like that was a buzz all over Facebook, social media. And yet, you know, typically when we come to a new year, it's a natural place that people would make resolutions for the coming year. And I know some people embrace the idea of making resolutions. Some people kind of distance themselves from that. I have always found this to be a great time to really reflect personally, reflect in my family life, reflect in my ministry and every aspect of my life and look back and say, what can we celebrate? But what are some things that maybe God would have for me in the future? And be intentional to really kind of reflect and to think. And so whether you're one of those people that you like the setting goals and things for the coming year, resolution, or whatever you want to call it, or whether you kind of just take life as it comes, my prayer for each of us today is that we would look beyond the typical areas for resolutions. I think some people do make resolutions with regard to spiritual things, but most resolutions will have to do with finances, maybe getting out of debt or some financial goal. Most people make resolutions about health. That's why gym memberships always sell out in January. The gym gets crowded, and then February, you wonder where everyone went. My mind was going somewhere, but you know, sometimes we make goals with regard to relationships. So with a spouse, with family, with kids. Sometimes we make goals with regard to work or personal development. And I saw a lot of people posting how many books they want to read in the coming year or different things they want to do to grow. But I want to ask you and have you think today, whether you're intentional or unintentional about approaching the new year, I want to ask you, what steps will you take in this coming year to grow closer to Jesus? What steps are you going to take to really go deeper, not only in your relationship with Christ, but in your knowledge of his love, your experience of his presence, and just a greater sense of what God wants to do in and through you in the coming year? We're going to be looking at Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. And I want to look at this and really just kind of, we're going to walk through some key phrases. And my goal this morning is really just to kind of look at the key phrases in this text and let it be a guide for each one of us to really not only understand what is being said, but then ask ourselves, well, where am I at in relation to this text? Because that's how we're supposed to approach Scripture. We're supposed to approach Scripture with an open heart, an open mind, to where when we read God's Word, that we look at what God's Word says, and if our life doesn't align, match up, that we need to align our lives to his word. As we come, my notes just went off for a second, that scared me. But as we come today, I just want to encourage you, just to make sure that as you're looking at the word, be looking at your own life and how you're going to approach this new year. But let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 4 together. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, before we dive into this, one of the things I want to point out in these verses are part of a larger text and that we're going to look at the next few weeks. But there's two things here that I see in this section that are really critical that kind of are set as bookends in that text. In verse 1, you have this picture. It says, if you then been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So verse 1, you have this image of Christ seated at the right hand of God, and that's an image, it's a picture of God through Christ reigning. And when we say Jesus is Lord, this would be an appropriate image to come to our mind. That Jesus not only accomplished his work on this earth, died on the cross for our sins, conquered death, rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. It's a picture of Jesus reigning as Lord. And so on the first verse here, you have the picture of Christ being Lord. And it introduces this idea of God's kingdom that Christ proclaimed. Jesus went throughout the world proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Christ reigns, and you see this image of him reigning in verse 1. And so that's the one bookend. Verse 4, you have the image of Christ returning. So you have the picture of Christ on the throne reigning as Lord, and you have the picture then of Christ returning for his church. Those images really are central to everything else we're going to talk about this morning, about the life that we've been invited to live in. We've been invited to live in a life where Christ is Lord, where he reigns, not only in this world, but he reigns in our life, and we live a life that is lived with the expectation that he's going to return for us. First phrase, though, that is key for us to look at, says in verse 1, if you then have been raised with Christ, this connects this passage to what was discussed in chapter 2. And he's highlighting this idea of what it means when we've come to receive Christ and enter into this life of Christ. Verse 2, I want to look at a few verses. These will not, I don't think, will be on the screen, but if you have your Bible, you can look at it. But Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And down to verse 12 of chapter 2. Says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. You know, these verses just give an incredible picture of what Jesus did for us. They kind of resemble Romans 6 in the image of that when we come to faith in Jesus, our old life, when we come to faith, our old life is nailed to the cross, and our new life is lived in the same power of the resurrection of Jesus coming to live inside of us. Like when Paul says in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ living in me. The Christian life is a life where our old life is gone, and then the new life is lived in vital connection to Jesus, who is the one living in us and living through us. When this verse, Colossians 3:1, makes this statement that if you have been raised with Christ, everything that he's about to say is connecting back to that decision. If we've received Jesus as Lord and we understand that our old life is dead and our new life is lived in and through Jesus, it means that there's supposed to be something different about the way that we live. That there's going to be a difference in the life that we live. In this section that we're going to look at over the next few weeks, there are a number of commands that are given. And each of those commands are instructions for the new believer of how we are to live. And in the section we're looking at today, in these first four verses, we're looking at two commands: seek and set. Seek the things that are above and set your mind on the things that are above. But also we see that it's all put in these two options that we have. That we can seek things that are above, or we can seek things that are on the earth, or we can set our mind on things above, and we can set our mind on things of the earth. We see that and as two options in these instructions that we're being given and how we're to live this new life. And so I want us to just think for a moment, what are those two options? And this really reflects not only these verses, but it reflects the larger message of the Christian gospel and what we see through the New Testament. If you look in the next slide, that things on the earth, it's not saying the idea of like physical space of being, well, on earth or in some space up in the cloud. The point here has more to do with a different order, a different age that has come. Really, this whole language reflects a lot of what Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, with the kingdom of God being everything on the second column here and the things above. We're invited to enter into this new life. If we've put our faith in Christ, our old life is dead and gone, and our new life through the power of Christ living in us through the resurrection, we've entered into this new kingdom, this new era, this new reality. But then we have to make sure that we're living like that's a reality, living like it's really true in our lives. You look at the two categories on the things of this earth, or it's the old age, it's the or era or order. It's on a very personal level. It's the life where we're calling the shots. It's the life where we're in control, where we're in charge. Whereas in the new age, the new era, the new order is life in God's kingdom, where Christ is reigning in us and reigning through us, and our whole life is lived through the power of Christ living inside of us. We see, if you read through the gospel accounts and especially Jesus' teachings, we see that we're called to focus not on temporary things that are going to pass away, but eternal things. And so you have these two things, and the things of this earth we know are temporary. They're passing. Whereas things above are eternal. There's eternal significance and value to them. We also see, and this reflects Paul's language in Romans 8 and in Galatians, this idea of the flesh versus spirit. In the old, the things of this earth, the things of the flesh are things that are temporary and they're passing, but they're also things that are often opposed to the spirit and what God wants for us. And we have to look in our life and understand that struggle. And Paul, at the end of Romans 7 and Romans 8, he really highlights that very personal struggle that he experiences, where he wants to do the good, and yet he continually finds himself struggling to do what he wants to do and instead doing the things he doesn't want to do. And he introduces this whole tension, this whole theme of the flesh versus the spirit. And the only way that we can find victory in that struggle is surrender. To be surrendered and to be led by the Spirit. To let God's Spirit guide us and lead us. We also, I think, probably one of the best ways that I really, for me, understand and grasp these two concepts of the things above versus the things below are the self-life versus the Christ life. And I get that language from Bill Bright. And if you ever remember his diagram that he would have and how to live a life filled with the Spirit, he'd have a circle with a chair in the center of the circle, and that represented your life. And that chair didn't just represent a chair, it represented the throne of your life. Who was in control? And so if you remember the charts, anyone ever see that chart? Okay. If not, try to picture that in your mind. Circle, chair in the middle. And there were little dots, little things all throughout that circle. And the image that he gave was that when self was on the throne, there was disorder, chaos. But when Christ sits on that throne, everything was put in order within our life. The reality is when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, all the incredible things that we look forward to when Christ comes and returns to set up his kingdom on this earth, we look forward to that day that he comes to establish his kingdom and to make all things right, to make all things new. But we also, because when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we now enter into a present reality of that kingdom. Where all the benefits that we wait for, there's some of those things that we're experiencing now. And that begins with life with Jesus and walking in relationship with him. So these are the two options that we're seeing in these verses. You can seek or set your mind on things above or things below. And I want to just look at these two commands and guide you to ask yourself, what are you pursuing? What are you concentrating on? What are your aims, your ambitions? Colossians 3:1 says, "If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." The command here, this is the first command. We're going to look at a few more next week. But this is the first command that's listed here. And this idea of seek, we've seen this before. Jesus in Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom." It's that idea of seeking is in the notion here is to try to pursue something or to get or reach something that one desires. And I just want you to think for a moment, and whether you connect this to New Year's resolutions or just look at your past life or kind of what your dreams are for the coming year, what are the things that you desire? What are the things that you're really pursuing and seeking? If you're not sure, think about how you invest your time. Think about how you invest your money, your talents. We typically pursue those things that we want. We pursue those things that we desire. And Jesus, instead of trying to tell us to push those desires aside, Jesus calls us to direct our desires toward Him, to seek Him, to seek His kingdom. What do you desire? What are you seeking in your life? Are you seeking those things that are going to help you grow in your relationship with Christ? Or are you so focused on seeking things that are temporary, earthly, things of the flesh, or things of this old order? Or are you really striving to grow in your knowledge of who Christ is and grow in your relationship with Christ so that you're walking in this new life, looking forward to the day of Christ's return? The second command goes right along with this, is set your mind. Set your mind on things that are above. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of this earth." Now, the idea of to set here, it's to place your mind, to concentrate. It's to direct your attention, your thought towards something. We were joking this morning as we were running through the songs for this morning, that I couldn't remember I forgot to write down the notes as to when was Josh playing, when was I playing, and what we were doing. There was a day that I would remember those details. That day is past. And I'm finding myself, I used to torment my mother, who would have things come out from her mind to her mouth that I never understood. Like, she would just say things that just made no sense. Like, she'd get confused. And I'm regretting ever teasing her about that because I'm walking in those shoes. But you know, it's that idea of concentrating on something or setting your mind on something. You know, we have those moments where we grasp or try to grasp holding on to those details and things. But you know, the idea of concentrating or setting our mind, it means there's a lot of intentionality. And it's interesting and important to note on both the seek and the set. These are not only commands, but they're present tense. They're present tense commands, which means they're ongoing. And so when we come to faith in Christ, we don't just celebrate and put our faith in a decision we made in the past, but we have to continue to seek Him. We have to continue to seek things above. We need to continue to set our minds on things above. It's not something we do once and then forget about. It's an ongoing, continuous action. I want to ask you, where is your attention? What are you focused on? And again, same list as I mentioned before. How do you spend your time? How are you investing your resources, your talents, your life? What are you pouring your life into? I love the fact that I kind of look at this and say, well, we probably could have just had one of these two commands. They kind of accomplish the same thing, and yet, really, there is a subtle difference here. What we seek focuses on our desire. And I will tell you this, if you're here and you're not really hungry for God, and you're not really wanting to seek things that are above, and you're pretty satisfied seeking the things that you've been seeking that are temporary, that are passing, there needs to be a change in your heart that would change that desire. And that begins with just being honest with God, confessing that to God, and ask God to give you the desires of His heart, that he would put within you a greater desire for more of him. So the seeking connects with our desire. The idea of setting our mind, that focuses on concentration and intention. You know, most of the New Year's resolutions you'll hear are often connected to the idea of health, personal health. And so just to kind of illustrate this, the desire would be to be healthy, to lose weight, to be able to perform at a better level in some sort of athletic thing. I've seen some of those I've seen some of those things posted. You have the desire. It's something that you want. But if you have the desire and you don't have the concentration, you're not really going to get anywhere. When we have a desire to grow in an area, to change, that desire then needs to be met with the idea of intentionality and putting our mind to something. To say, I'm going to work on this. So there's an effort to say, I want to grow. I want to lose some weight. That is one of my goals for the coming year. If I don't hurt my ankle again like I did halfway through this year, but hopefully we accomplish that. But you know that whatever the goal is, you have the goal, but if it's just a goal and it never transitions to the idea of something that we're going to concentrate on and focus on and put our attention on, it's not going to happen. Now, a third step that's not necessarily in this text is we know that you not only have to seek it, have the desire, you have to concentrate on it, put your attention to it, but then you need to set some realistic steps and actually do something. Get to the gym. Get up early. Open up your Bible. Whatever it is that the desire is and what you're seeking and what you start putting your attention towards, start putting feet to those goals and actually doing something with it and putting things on your calendar, putting things into your weekly life that will help guide you to meet that goal. We're being challenged here to seek and to set our minds on things above. It's my prayer for each of us is that God would give us a greater desire to just know him more, to go deeper in our walk with him. And something I think might motivate us with this is if we look at the last two verses, verses 3 and 4. We see in this, Colossians 3:3-4 says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." There are three reasons listed here of why we would want to seek the things above, why we would want to set our minds on the things above. So we not only have the commands, these verses focus on the motivation, kind of the want to. Why would we want to do this? Before we look at that, though, there's a phrase here that I just love the phrase. You guys are good. The phrase on verse 4, it says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." You know, we read that, and I've read that so many times, and I just focused on the idea of Christ's return, but I missed that little phrase. And this little phrase, I think, separates the difference between someone who's really seeking after God and someone who's not. And when Paul says, "When Christ, who is your life," think about that. He's defining the life that he's living as a life that's connected to Christ. Christ, who is your life. We're walking in relationship with Christ. He is the one who gives us life. He's the one who gives us the full and abundant life that he promises. And yet we also look forward to his return. There are three reasons that we see listed here, though. And not only is that we have that image of Paul describing, much like he does in Galatians 2:20, that it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ living in me. He understands that Jesus himself is the source of this life. But he highlights three very specific things here. One, this goes back to what we read in chapter 2 and what we see in Romans 6 as well, that you have died. If you've been raised with Christ, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, you received him as Lord, your old life where you were calling the shots, where you were in control, where you were in charge, is nailed to the cross, is dead and gone. And the new life then is lived through the power of Christ living in us and through us. We need to live that like that's a reality. like in Romans 6:11, where it's talking about very similar things, that we need to reckon ourselves dead to sin, or consider ourselves dead to sin. We need to live like it's a reality in our life, that our old life is dead and gone, which in a practical sense, that means we're going throughout the day and some temptation comes before us. In that moment, we have a choice to say, am I going to embrace something that is part of my old life, or am I going to recognize the fact that that is part of my old life, it's dead and gone, and make a choice of something that is in the new life with Christ? We set our mind on the things above, because our old life is dead. Our old life is dead and nailed to the cross. Second reason, your life is hidden with Christ and God. Now, I've heard different commentaries give different understanding of what that means. I really like the concept that connects us to the larger understanding of our being hidden in God, and what we see through the Psalms and through the Old Testament, that focuses on the idea that our life is secure in Him and that we can trust Him. When we talk about our life being hidden with Christ and God, there's two key words there: security and trust. We can trust God because in Him we are secure. That language is used in Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 5 through 6 says, "For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." That image of God's protection is being painted here and calling us to understand that our life is hidden with Christ. We're secure in Him and we can trust Him. We see that in Isaiah 49:2. Again, it says, "He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand, He hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In His quiver, He hid me away." We can trust Him. Not only is our old life dead and gone, but our life, the life that we live, is hidden in Christ with God. And the third reason we are given is that when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with Him in glory. You know, just in general, I think it's important to understand that the early Christians lived each day with the expectation of Jesus' return. And I love the fact that if you understand the history of our movement, the Christian Missionary Alliance, that we celebrated, I'll quiz you a little bit here, we celebrate the fact that Jesus is our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. Yeah, if you didn't notice, it's behind the tree. Simpson understood that everything that we do in living a holy life to proclaiming the good news of Christ was all lived with the expectation of Jesus' return. Simpson took very seriously Matthew 24 when it says this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the ends of the earth and then the end will come. And he put that into a rally cry of saying, let's bring back the king. I want to ask you, how much of your life is lived each day with the expectation that Christ is returning? And that we want to stand before Him and to be able to give a good account of the life that we've lived and that we've done something with this new life that He has given us. These verses highlight not only Christ's return, but it makes a statement. It says that when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with Him in glory. Two verses that came to my mind with this that I think speak to that phrase of us appearing with Him in glory. It's describing not only the reality of Christ coming back for us, but the change that will take place in us when He returns. As we live the life and walking with Christ, and we become more and more like Him, but we celebrate a day that is coming that we will be, in the twinkling of an eye, we will become like Him. All the sin that we struggle with, all the challenges and trials that we have will be gone. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." My prayer for each of us today is really just to examine our hearts, examine our lives, and ask, what are we focused on? What are we striving towards? What are we investing in? What are we concentrating on? What are we setting our mind and setting our lives toward? And are we making investments in our life that have eternal significance, or are we investing our time and our energy and resources in things that are fading? We're going to be singing my favorite hymn in close. Josh knew the general text that we were looking at today and chose the music. And this hymn has been one of my favorite hymns for many years. I know this sounds morbid, but I've instructed my family this hymn will be sung at my funeral. But you know, the focus of these words really highlight this text. Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Now thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, thou my true word. I ever with thee, thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Skipping down to verse 4. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, a ruler of all. Seeking the things that are above, setting our mind on the things that are above, are reflected in these words of making Christ our vision, making his kingdom our vision, what guides us, what gives us light and guides us each step in our life. As I invite the musicians to come, as we prepare to lead the song, I just encourage you to, if there are things that you've been holding on to that you know you need to let go of so that you can embrace Christ, know the altar is open. You can make an altar right where you're sitting as well. But if God has been speaking to you, just make sure you respond to whatever he says to you this morning.